In today's episode, I flip some houses, JJ gets stuck in a loop, Mike is the law, and Samantha has a sound financial strategy. This is episode 83. I guess we'll start talking about video games since that's the primary focus of our podcast here at Fun Sphere Game Club.
Glame Club.
Thank you, Michael.
Glame Club.
Glame Club.
I'm Josh.
I'm Josh.
Objection!
I'm Josh.
And I'm the other Josh.
That's true on that case. Yeah. So, what have you nerds been playing? How about we start with JJ? What have you been playing?
Okay. So, since we watched an older movie sometime, I decided to go with Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, the spiritual successor to Jet Set Radio.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, I started watching a lot of videos on Jet Set for some reason, because after the Sega announcement a few months ago, and I was like, well, you know what? Let's go back and play it. And I do have it on my Vita, but that experience was just awful, so I put that away and saw that Cyberpunk
just for clarification, was on sale for $14. Are you talking about the Vita experience was that bad, or that game on Vita was that bad?
just the Vita, you playing it on Vita. And I do have a Dreamcast. I just didn't want to bring it out and get it going. So I thought that I'll just play the game that's supposed to be the successor to all of it. And it's good. It's really good because they added a fighting combat to it. Mm-hmm. The animation's still the same. The story's shorter, so it's about 9 or 10 hours. So I'm about 6 hours into it.
Nice.
And I thought, you know, like really into it, I thought that, oh, I'm having so much fun, but I don't know if you remember like Tony Hawk or even playing Jet Set Radio that, you know, you start hearing the same song over and over again and you're just trying to jump up and catch something. Yes. So it's almost like control throwing worthy to the point like, I hate the song. I hate this game. I hate everything about it. So that was my kind of like last few weeks playing that on and off. But the game's fantastic because adding the fighting to it's great. Mm-hmm. Still kind of the same story, spray painting, fighting different gangs. I mean, you play as a character that gets his head cut off, and then they put a robot head. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre. But the animation, the music, the look of it, it's fantastic. And it was only $14, so
that's not bad at all.
Yeah. So, but then after playing that, I looked at the trailer again for Jet Set Radio 3.
That's right.
And, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, am I going to get burnt out before that comes out? I don't know when it's going to come out. So that's where I was at, because I originally was going to do Red Dead 1 and 2 all in one sitting and try to knock all that out, and then realized that I didn't.
I was like that at all in one sitting. I was like, are you sitting there for a week solid?
Yeah, I just got a man diaper on.
You can still go to the bathroom.
No, you
nope. You got to be fully committed.
One sitting. If he gets up, it's over.
And one shitting. Sorry, guys. That's
great.
Terrible. Anyways, yeah. So that's what I've been playing. So the game's good. I do recommend it, especially if it's only $14. But that was the physical version. I don't know how much it is digitally.
It's one of those times. Sometimes you'll find a better deal buying a physical version than a digital version, which makes zero sense.
Yeah.
What's that?
What is that
if
sound?
It's used.
What's that noise?
Yeah, what is that noise?
Sound like something. Samantha looks like she knows something. What was the noise? Are they pressure washing?
What noise? My heater came on.
Ah, maybe that's what it is.
It's been coming on the whole time, so.
I don't hear it now.
Released like 1,000 ghosts.
Yeah. 1,000 ghosts. It might be my heater. Why does it suddenly sound like that?
No, it's like, you know what it sounded like to me? Was for real, like the sound of like a pressure washer hitting a window, like the spray of it. That's what it sounded like.
It might be my heater.
And then made a toilet flush.
Sort of, yeah. So was that another game we played? Was what's that sound? We all played that this week.
I'm just wondering why now it's like now because it's been like it's loud for sure, but it has been like every time. So.
I don't know, because I think Skype does have noise canceling that it triggers, right? So it may have just randomly
stopped.
Caught it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, we may need to let the audience enjoy having your heater mic'd up one episode.
It's really loud. It's so loud. Like, I can't even watch TV.
I wonder what movie the heater will recommend for us to watch. I don't know.
Probably Nosferatu Extended Cut, because it likes the sound of air.
See, I was going with like Some Like It Hot. That's a good. That's
some like it lukewarm.
So before we get too far away, JJ's story of how you keep hearing the same track reminded me to when I was a kid. My cousin had one of the NASCAR games. I guess this was like PS2 GameCube era.
Okay.
And with all those EA games, you could like, you know, you could adjust
pick
the soundtrack.
Song. Yeah.
So he just had freaking Get Out of My Dreams and Into My Car looping nonstop.
That was me and Tony Hawk 1. I had Jerry Was a Race Car Driver. Only song I played in that entire game.
Okay, so speaking of Tony Hawk 1, then for me, it was definitely Superman by Goldfinger.
Superman. Katamari Damacy had one level where I was stuck on for, like, weeks. So the song from that one.
Rolling Star. Probably.
No, not that one. It's the one with, like, the kids singing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think it's, like, Cherry Blossom Picnic or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I was also going to say, do you remember that the original Xbox had the option to download your music into the system and then be able to incorporate it into certain games? That was...
I remember... was it... PS1 or PS2, you could play games like Grand Theft Auto, take the disc out and put a music CD in, and it would play the music.
Wow.
I don't know if it was Grand Theft Auto that did that. It was one of those games, though, because like it would just load up the overworld. So once you had it loaded, then you could play the music.
Wow.
So I was going to say, JJ is a simple solution for that. I guess not for Jet Set Radio. I was like, couldn't you just mute the game sound and listen to your headphones or something like that?
For sure. And you know, most of the dialogue is it's not voiceover, so you just read it. So it's so you can do that. But then you kind of lose the feel for it. You know, like what am I going to listen to? It doesn't quite fit the area. So by design, it works. And the music is great.
Yeah.
However, when you're doing bad, which I do in every video game I play, it's just frustrating. So the game's fantastic. I do recommend it. But, you know, if you just suck at... Like, I had to jump across this bridge to grind on this other rail. Yeah. And I kept hitting the speed boost and overshooting it, and then it would go back to the beginning. And the same song's playing, and the characters, the... You know, just doing their little dance. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm tired of seeing you dancing. And it's like an entry level part in the game.
You should be able
to,
in any game where there's like skill based challenges like that, or any game where you can fail an objective, you should be able to punch the player character.
Do it right! Bam!
Or the designers just say, maybe this is not for you. You can get a full refund.
Oh my gosh, Final Fantasy 14 on the, on the like boss battles that you have to do solo or with NPCs, if you fail it enough times, it's like, do you want to put this on easy?
Yeah.
I'm like, yep,
the
yes,
later Mario games started doing that.
There's a
couple. If you die like three times, they're like, all right, here's invisibility for you. Or invincibility.
I was going to say, I remember Devil May Cry's. I've got that. That it's like, look, do you want to drop down to the level below what you're currently playing? Because you're getting your ass kicked constantly.
Yes, I do.
But that's nice for them to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other game I was playing, Metaphor, I was doing well. I was doing great. And then I looked at like a PDF of things that I missed, and I missed like 30% of the game. Like, I can go back and do it. But I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so far into this game. I'm like, no, I'm not. And in order to get 100% to have a PDF to make sure that you ate a baguette on Tuesday is not the kind of game I want to go back and play. So I wanted something that was about 10 or 15 hours. So I started looking up older games that I already had. So that's why I started playing Cyberpunk, because Metaphor messed with me a lot.
I was going to say, that's an interesting thing, is because we have so many games nowadays that are like, you need 120 hours into this just to get going. It's nice to have a game that's like, nah, you can knock this out in a weekend if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. A friend of me and Mike started playing Death Stranding, and I had to tell him, listen, man, when you hit hour 20, that's when it really takes off. That's when it really gets good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, once you get that first full day of work in on the game, that's when it starts to get really good. So have I ever told you guys I have a rule about music, and I kind of have a rule about video games too?
Well, I knew about the video games. Actually, I'm not surprised, but tell us it.
Okay, all right. So my rule for a song is I will give you 30 seconds, and if you can't get me hooked in 30 seconds, I'm gone.
Ooh.
Yeah. Especially if your song has lyrics, it just depends. Like, you got to get me 30 seconds. You got to sell me. I'm moving on. And my video game window is usually 2 hours. I will give you 2 hours, and if you can't hook me, I'm done with you.
That's why Mbop is Josh's favorite song.
That's correct.
Right out the gate.
Yeah, you know exactly what you're in for.
That's right.
So, if I was trying to let you listen to a song, would I have to pick the 30 seconds, or you're like, no, I'm only going to listen to the first 30 seconds and that's it?
If you can, if you're like, hey, it's got a slow start or something like that, but here's 30 seconds I think can sell you on it, I would accept that.
Well,
okay.
Just in person.
Yeah, that's right.
Have to hear the whole song. Yep.
Oh, I'm also one that's like, to get me to sit down and listen to an entire album is very difficult, but I'll do it.
Oh, man.
Then. Okay.
No room up here.
No room at the end there for you, Milk. All right, JJ, any other games you played besides those two?
No, I'm just waiting. My son's playing Kingdom Come 2, so I'm looking over his shoulder every once in a while, watching him play shooting crossbows. That seems like it's a racket, so I'm like, yeah, this was way too complicated. But
that game is one that, like, I was surprised got a sequel, and it's that sequel has been hyped up quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. So no, it looks good. I saw him, some people climbing up a ladder, and he just kicked it down. They fell off, and he's loading up a crossbow, missed it by like 30 feet. And I'm like, well, not my kind of game, because I know I'll be terrible at it, but watching him play is awesome.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Samantha, what have you been playing?
I played a couple weekends ago. I played Sorry We're Closed.
Okay.
I said I was going to get. That's an indie game. One of the artists from Paradise Killer made it, somebody else. So it is like Paradise Killer mixed with Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah. I remember you mentioning that one.
I was surprised how hard it was. It's like basically this shop girl, her dreams get infected by some demons, and then like finds out that like this whole town is basically infested, and they have to like, and then she has to just like beat the Duchess, and the Duchess is like, they're called the Duchess, but they're like non-binary. It's like clearly a male body, but whatever, they're a demon. So uh-huh. it's cool. The art is really cool. And the Duchess is like trying to, like, she just kidnap all these people to try to make them fall in love with them. And when they don't, then they just like become these like monsters. So okay. you have to like kill them. But it's really hard. The only healing is water bottles, and there are not a lot of them. And there's no easy setting. And then I found out that you can, the closest thing they have to an easy setting is you can like turn on an infinite water bottle. So I was like, yes, thank you, because there were not very many. And it's cool. It's hard though. It was hard. I beat it in a weekend. But okay. then, you know, I found out I missed like a bunch of the collectibles and stuff. And because there's a couple different endings, I'm going to replay it and go down a different path and try to look for more of those things. Because usually like the first time I play through something like that, I don't try to 100% it anyway. Just like want to get a feel for it. And then okay. I'll go back. And I feel like once I know the whole story, I can look deeper into things.
I know personally for me, if I want to 100% a game or something like that, that's usually on a second playthrough as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny that both of you mentioned like you pretty much need a guide before you start the game to get to the 100%. I was thinking, I remember playing Persona 5, JJ, and I was like the same way you were. I was like, I've missed so much stuff. Do I restart at this point or do I just keep going? And
yeah.
The answer was I just quit playing the game.
I'll get back to it. It's just a lot. To your point, yeah. I mean, I think I did the same thing with Persona 5 the first time I played it as well. Okay. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't go to class.
Yeah, exactly. You missed a day of class, so that
I would have never beat Shadow of the Colossus for the first time without a guide.
Yeah. Okay. That's yeah. I can see that being one that you need a guide for.
You can't even find them.
So Samantha, would you say that you like this more than the previous game?
No. I liked it a lot, but it didn't like, it didn't grab me the way Paradise Killer did. Like the lore wasn't, I liked the lore. I liked the world, but it wasn't, I don't know. It just didn't get me the same way Paradise Killer did. Plus Paradise Killer is way more chill. You know, you're just running around vibing. This one you have to like fight and there's scary monsters. And it really, like, the graphics, it really reminds me of, like, a PS1 game, kind of, but, like, brighter. So it's, high-res PS1 game. But they're all, like, flat and polygonal-ish. Yeah. And then the character portraits are really nice, because the artist is incredible. But, yeah, and the soundtrack is good. It's not vaporwave. It's more hip-hop. But, like, I feel like it's a subgenre that I'm just not that super familiar with. But it's really is good. I like it a lot. It's really like atmospheric and vibey. It's kind of scary. Yeah, I did like it a lot. I think it's worth it. It was cheap too, and it came on Steam anyway, a bundle, which I already own Paradise Killer on Steam, but they had a bundle of like Sorry We're in Paradise. We could get both games for $20.
That's a good name for that bundle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's actually like people, because this game became a little more like popular online right out the gate, because I think the artist had built a following, so it's getting more people to play Paradise Killer too, which is awesome.
That is good when a new one comes out, makes you want to go back into that that artist or that company's back catalog and try their previous games.
Yeah, it's a different game studio, but it's like in the thank you in the end credits was the lead devs of Paradise Killer, so they all like help each other.
Yeah,
their new game, Kaizen's new game, is the demo is out, and it looks insane. It's all Japanese voice actors, and it's called like Mascot Agency or something. It's like a cursed town, and you have to collect all these like weird ass mascots. It looks wild. They got a bunch of really famous Japanese voice actors for it. No English.
No English. Okay.
And I've been playing Fields of Mystria like crazy, getting ready for the next update on March 10th.
So not that much longer.
I'm so excited.
Mario Day.
Oof. Fields of Mystria Day now. I'm so glad I got my old job back. I'm in an easy region. Got two bids due next week. On Monday when I got like my manager called me to give me my password to like sign in and everything. She was like, "I'm a little hungover. Also, we can't even get you into Gen Web until March 1st. So, I guess just entertain yourself." Like,
oh.
So it looks like Sorry We're Closed is going to be on the PS5.
Oh yeah, that's coming out soon. It's coming out on console soon. It's cool. It's like really stylistic. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think I saw that on one of the pages or something like that. That was one of those coming games, or maybe I don't think it had a demo, but I remember seeing that title and I was like, oh, I think that's the one that Samantha had talked about previously.
Yeah.
Okay.
That looks good.
It's so woke though. So if you don't like that.
I was going to say, I think it's interesting that they definitely honored the Silent Hill because it was a PlayStation 1 game and it had the polygon. I think it's interesting that the PS1 is kind of the, like, you know, we had so many games in the 2010s and stuff like that that went back to the 8-bit and the 16-bit look, and now it's time for the PlayStation to be the retro art style.
So weird to me.
The weird hands.
Yeah, they have that. It's I think it is scarier when it's like low res like that, like not super detailed, because it's like, is that?
It can definitely work that way. Yeah.
64 PS1 eyes. Was always the hardest generation for me to go back and play.
I agree with you for the most part, Mike, but I can definitely see like new developers that grew up on that, like we grew up on the Nintendo, that being the kind of game they want to emulate now. That makes sense, at least.
It's like, you know how the like pixel games are like scaled up, but they're still like, it's the same kind of thing. Like, it's the models look like that, but the depth of field is better.
It's easier to actually see what's going on in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you played? All right. Mike, what about you, pal?
I have been playing quite a bit lately.
Okay.
I finished Indiana Jones.
Yeah. How was it? How was the ending?
It was awesome. Should I spoil it?
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm not going to get to it for a while.
So the last level, you find Noah's Ark. It's insane. It's so big. The story's all over the place, so I'm not even worried about spoiling it because there's so much stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
The game was great. I will say the bugs start to come out once you're going for 100%. And I have all but one achievement, and I can't get it until they patch the game.
Oh, that is so bad.
It's because you like there's a ton of stuff to collect in this game, and I've collected everything. But towards the end, there was shit like you'll go because you can go back to the other areas to get stuff that you miss. So that it's good in that regard. But I'll collect something that I'm missing, and then as soon as I leave the area, it acts like I didn't get it.
Oh.
And then so I have to save on the last place for it to recognize. I still got the achievement, but in the game menu, it doesn't think that I have this thing. And you have to recollect it every time. So there's that bug. And then there's another bug where when you're in Succotai, there's this fisherman who you're supposed to take a picture of, but if you go to the next level without taking that picture, then it's impossible to get his picture. And that happened. So until they, like, they're aware of that bug, and they said that they'll address it with the next patch, so I just am waiting until I can get that now.
I was going to say, I think Starfield has some of that stuff, too, that, like, certain stuff would just be locked, and they're like, yeah, well, I remember going to one planet, and all the doors on the buildings there were locked.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, we'll get to it eventually. When we patch it, it'll fix that.
Skid, I think I told you guys, Skid had a bug where when he left a planet, the ship basically took the planet with him, and then it erased all NPCs.
Wow.
God. I stopped playing it because there were so many missions where it told me to go somewhere, and then when I went somewhere, it was some ship you're supposed to track down. It would be in a different place, so there was no way that I could actually get to it.
Because it kept jumping... to a different place. Wow. Bethesda.
And so many broken map markers.
Yep. Oh. And like, and that's funny because it came out at the end of the game rather than the first part, which is what JJ originally asked when you told him you were playing that. You're like, how much Bethesda jank does it have? And you're like, no, it's not that bad.
It really isn't for the majority of the game. But yeah, once you start, and I mean, there would be, because you can get books that will show you where stuff is that you can still collect.
Mm-hmm.
And there would just be stuff missing from it where you know that you haven't collected it yet, but it will not show you on the map where it is. So then I would have to just like look at a guide and say, okay, well, there are 30 of these collectibles, and just go down the list trying to hit every location, not knowing which one I didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I put a lot of time in the game, but it's okay. Because it was so sketchy towards the end.
Fallout 4
maybe
is
when
still
the develop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Skyrim's broken and it's had 18 different versions of that game. So,
well, at least with stuff like Skyrim and Fallout, there's not really a bunch of stuff to collect because it's just a big
open world.
You can have whatever you want. Yeah. But this is like a Zelda where there's like, if you're a completionist, there's a lot of stuff that like, check that off, check that off, check that off. Yes, I can say I have 100%.
Yeah,
and so for it to be so broken, it was frustrating.
I bet you the developers probably did a spit take. They're like, we're going to go ahead and rush the game. Who cares about this 100%? No one's going to be crazy enough to do it. And here comes Mike. Yep, I got to get it.
I got
to have it. You and the coffee mugs.
Walking in like that little girl of that guy was on the webcam and his kids come in the room and his daughter walks in like this.
I think it's funny that I think it says a lot about a game if you actually want to 100% complete it nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a great game.
Okay.
Love to get that last percent.
But wait, I thought you said the achievements show that you have it, but the in-game
He doesn't
version?
Have 100% in his heart.
No, I don't have the achievement either. That was a different collectible.
Oh. Okay.
The photo is all I need now for the last achievement. Because you have to, the achievement is filling up your entire journal.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, I finished that. Then I started playing Kona 2, which I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Kona.
Sounds so
funny. I played it back in 2017 or 2018 over a weekend and enjoyed it. It was like, you're this detective in the 70s in Canada, and you're supposed to go investigate. This guy hires you, and there's this crazy snowstorm that happens. And it's kind of like the old computer adventure exploration style games.
Okay.
Which I... Yeah, not... it's 3D, so first person. So you're not actually pointing and clicking, but it's that style of like very slow paced. You're just investigating stuff.
Okay.
Which I always enjoy those kind of games. And this one, it's kind of like a mystery. There isn't a lot of action in it. But yeah, I enjoyed the first one, and they had originally said that they anticipated it being a trilogy. And then nobody knew about the game that I knew of. I'd never heard of anybody else who'd played it. So it fell off my radar, and I just assumed that, like, oh, yeah, well, they're never actually going to do that because it wasn't successful. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the second one on Game Pass. I was like, holy shit, they actually did. So I've been playing that. It's good.
So same you're style a detective game. In Canada? And listen,
yeah.
And this is going to sound terrible, and I don't know, but Canada doesn't seem like it has a lot of crime. Are you, like, solving stolen cookies from a jar?
When the upcountry degens come to town, there's a lot of crime.
I was going to say, the only crimes that I'm aware of in Canada are the, mafia-like control of the maple syrup trade, but is that...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll let you know after I move there and then have to participate in war against the United States when colonized my new home.
I wish you well in the wars to come.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, the game, it starts to go down a supernatural path. So, like, the guy who hires you to investigate something, I don't even remember enough about the first game, because it's, I mean, it was a short game, and it was so long ago that I played it. I just remember enjoying it.
Okay.
But they, like, they kind of give you a recap in the second one, and, like, towards the end of the first one, there's some weird creature that's chasing after you, and I just imagined back then that it he was hallucinating, because it's, like, this crazy-ass snowstorm that you're stuck in, and, like, one of the big mechanics in the game is just surviving.
Okay.
So this one starts out, like, you, it picks right up where the first one ended, because he just got in a boat to get the hell out of there. So you start out in a boat, and you see this dude who's on another boat, and you're waving at him, like, help, and he starts shooting at you, so you jump in the water, and, you come out, and you're kind of near the cabin of the guy who, I guess he was like a, he was a rich dude in this province. He was the one who hired you to investigate stuff. So you find out that he's been murdered. And so you're just trying to figure out what all's going on. And you start finding out that this dude owned this mine, like a mining company, and there was a meteorite that had hit in town that they start noticing that the meteor has all these weird properties.
Sure.
And so it's causing all these like monsters and crazy things to start happening.
Just a question. Are these like supposed to be in the Lovecraft universe by any chance? Because I thought that was, I think that's a plot of one of those books.
Oh, I don't know.
It sounds like Maybe. True Detectives, and I'm just wondering if the game is it. Does it chicken out at the end and say, oh, it wasn't supernatural at all after letting you know it was? Ooh. Or do they actually, are they brave?
I'm not sure. I think I'm in the last area because I put 20 or 30 hours into it.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. It is a good game, especially for something that I haven't paid for. Since it's on the Game Pass.
Yep. Okay. Nice. You know what else? Uncharted also does that, like True Detective style. They always, like, it always, near the end, it always goes to, like, some, it was like a Yeti or some shit. And then they're like, actually, it was just a guy in a mask.
So they Scooby, so they go with the Scooby-Doo type ending.
Yeah, or like a hallucination or something. Every time. Mm. And I'm like, stop being cowards.
Yes. I think you need to.
Just make it weird for real. Yeah.
I like to add, like, I like to use the adjective huge cowards instead
yeah.
of just
huge
to add regular
fucking cowards.
There you go.
So, yeah, that Kona 2. Okay. Been playing that. And then I actually had some foreshadowing in my greeting.
Okay.
Today.
I think I know what it is. Go ahead.
Josh?
I have been playing Phoenix Wright.
Oh, yeah, oh that's what I... Okay. Okay, that was my first.
So I really have no idea what made me want to play it. Actually, yeah, I do.
You wanted to believe in the law again.
No, I know what it was. you wanted to... Yeah. You saw a bunch of Phoenix Wrong YouTube compilations and then decided you wanted to play Phoenix Wright.
No, I haven't seen any Phoenix
no,
Wrong.
No, Phoenix Wright.
So I started out, I started, because, you know, winter time is
cold.
The best time for doing some of the, like, RPGs.
Yeah.
And I had started to get an itch to play Pokemon, and so I started Soul Silver, since that seems to be people's favorite, okay. is that generation, and I never really played it.
Okay.
So I started it, and then I was like, I don't think I am ready for that investment yet. So I was scrolling for something else to play, and I had bought all of the Phoenix Wright games whenever they were like, what, $2?
Yeah.
At the very end of the time, I started, Well, I started playing Apollo Justice, but then I thought I never finished the third one in the Phoenix Wright series, and I didn't want to miss anything, so then I went back. And I've tried to go back and replay Phoenix Wright a few times over the years.
Yeah, me too.
Because I played it when it first came out on the DS, and that was like, what, 2005, 6?
That sounds right.
It was a long time ago. And I always will play the first chapter and halfway through the second before I get distracted by something else.
Okay.
But for some reason, it stuck this time, and I'm on the fifth chapter of the first game.
So, Mike.
And I completely forgot how amazing these games are.
Mike, just a little clarification, if we could. Are you playing these on DS?
3DS, yeah.
Okay.
Which, I think this is the definitive version, because they even put in the time to make it 3D.
Ooh, I never used the 3D on my 3DS.
I love it. I'm like the only person in the world who loves the 3D gimmick.
It's just hard to focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have the new one?
I have the Fire Emblem one, the 3DS XL, but I've never, ever since the first one, I've never turned the 3D on, so.
Well, then they updated it towards the end of the life cycle, and it has a face tracker, and it makes it a lot easier.
Huh. Maybe I'll try that.
But I don't know what it is, but it may, like, whenever you, even if you just have it on barely, the graphics look more crisp on the system, so that's why I use it.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, Phoenix Wright is a really fun game. It's kind of ludicrous, more than a little ludicrous. Like, everybody's name has to be some kind of pun.
Yes, certainly does.
And I'll occasionally get really frustrated at some of the logistical solutions. Mm-hmm. Where you come up with an idea that's pretty much adjacent to what they want you to pick, yeah. But no, it has to be this specific line of questioning. Or
I remember that very well from playing it, because I remember having to look up a guide sometimes, because, like, you logically are asking the same question, but because you didn't pick this particular line and then that conclusion, you'd have to do it over again. The reason I asked if you like what you were playing it on, because I think all of those games now have been released in HD masters for modern consoles. Yeah, I know I have the original Phoenix Wright trilogy. I think they just did the Miles Edgeworth games and the Apollo Justice games. They've got all of those available now, and I think there's a prequel one too.
I don't know that they did the Miles Edgeworth on 3DS, because I thought that I bought everything that they offered, and I just have the trilogy, the Apollo Justice trilogy, and then the two games that they came out with on those systems.
What system would have been on then, if it wasn't?
They originally came out on the DS. I just don't think that they re-released it on the 3DS.
I see what you're talking about. Okay. Yep.
Or if they did, it wasn't in that sale.
Gotcha. Yeah. I just thought I was going to say something about that. Nah, never mind.
Oh, I will say another reason why the 3DS is the definitive version is because you can still use the microphone gimmick.
So you're screaming objection in your house. Is that what you're doing?
And take that. Well, I really got into trying to trick the... Because, I mean, it started out on the DS, so
yeah.
I just assumed that they would take any noise as... Because you have to hold a button and say something. So half of the fun has been trying to fool the system into what they think I'm saying. So instead of take that, it would be like, fuck you!
Oh, I remember what I was going to say now. Yeah, I was like, that's another instance of Capcom, not Comcast listening to their customers. They certainly never would. Capcom listening, and they're like, look, yeah, here's all the Phoenix Wright games. They've been re-released. Like I said, I'm super stoked because Onimusha 2 Remastered got announced, and that is one of my absolute favorite games. Me and my brother Joey have been losing our mind about that, and it comes out in like 2 months, so That's pretty good.
With all the business mergers, can you guys imagine Capcom Cast?
I can, and it's not good.
Nope.
Makes me think of 30 Rock.
I was gonna say you put in a request for like some tech support.
We're used to be, what was it? Used to be same song, but they dropped the E.
I was gonna say you put in a ticket for support with Comcast, and they use a Mega Man EXE character on the response email.
I like the IT team for a new job, new old job, because I had to put in a ticket to get my password changed, and but when they closed the ticket, the automatic thing was like, "We believe this issue is solved." I was like, "That's great."
To the best of our knowledge,
yeah, we think it might be fixed. Well, it is, but that's really funny. I wish ours said that.
So, Mike, when you finish Phoenix Wright, are you gonna go to Ghost Trick afterwards?
I need to. That's another one where I know it's a game that I would like, but I've played through it like 3 or 4 times and only do the first chapter of it before I stop playing it. And that's one where I'm not even far enough in to know how much I'll enjoy the game. So if I can just get past that first hurdle.
Yeah.
I thought you said turtle.
That first turtle
is so difficult to defeat that you just turn it off.
I do have it on my phone, though.
Oh, wow. That's right. That was a phone game.
No, it was originally the DS.
So it was the DS, then it went to the phone, and then they did I think it was maybe 2 years ago now, they did a HD remaster of it, too. I still have it on PlayStation 5. Anything else? Okay.
Nope.
All right. I, too, have been playing a lot of games. So the first game I played through completely and beat was the Punisher arcade game on my Marvel versus Capcom collection.
Nice. Nick Fury and Punisher.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's
right.
So good.
Oh, the fact that they put that game on there just out of all of the games they licensed was just so funny to me. It's you guys should look it up. It's just a old school beat 'em up, but it's the Punisher for some reason. And
it tests your nerves, man. It's long.
It is. It is a long game. And then the next game I've been playing, I actually have put a lot of time into, and I'm starting to notice a pattern of me liking these games. I played House Flipper from 2018. Yeah.
Flipping houses over.
All right. No, it's one of those games. It's like, I could be doing this in real life / should be doing this in real life, but I'd rather just spend hour upon hour playing a video game of doing it, because
that's how
it's
I feel about farming games.
It's so much easier than real life, and it's nice. Yeah, it's a fun little game. Like, I got it cheap on a Nintendo eSale, so I've been playing it on my Switch. It's jank, I'll say that. It is definitely a indie game from 2018. And it was originally, it looks like a... No, they released it on Android and iOS later. But I'd heard good things about the sequel, House Flipper 2. And I honestly kind of want to get the sequel now just because I want to see if they've improved the technology. Because there's so many frustrating things in this game of, like, just, like, you're constant, like, half the game is fighting with the menus and trying to control what you're actually trying to do or decorate or something like that. That's the most challenging part of it. Also, it's funny, they've got a lot of little, like, pop culture nods in this. Like, you can buy the house from Home Alone as one of the houses you can flip. You can
buy the house from People Under the Stairs.
No, you can buy. You mentioned Silent Hill. You can buy the room. Apartment 404. Also buy the Kami house from Dragon Ball. That's where my base of operations is. They have a lot of fun little stuff like that. That's one of those games where I brought up to JJ. I was like, the music in that is, again, repeats, and it's awful. So it's one of those ones I turn off and, like, I'll listen to a podcast or something like that while I'm playing that.
You know, with as much as you love the sim games, there was a game I only played it one night, but I think you might get a kick out of it. It's called Arcade Paradise. It's it's on Game Pass, but it's a laundromat with a few arcade games, and it's a simulator where you're trying to build up an arcade.
I 100%ed that game.
Did you really?
Yeah, I played the shit out of that game. yeah, a while back,
that.
I think when I was playing that, we were still doing the assigned video game episodes, so that's probably why I never talked about it. But yeah, I played that all the way through.
I enjoyed it. I think I just kept getting sidetracked by the actual chores that they set you up on, not realizing that like they kind of want you to move away from that.
Yeah, yeah. I actually remember being that too, having that like I'm making a pretty lucrative amount of money from the laundry service. Do I really need to build up the arcade?
I need to juggle.
I think I like Samantha's idea of house flipping, just pressing an action button almost and just flipping over houses and making a sequel to that.
Yes.
More houses to flip? Okay. This is why the market's in shambles. Somebody keeps flipping all these houses over.
Yeah, the downside to this game is because in my real life, you know, I actually work with mortgage adjacent things. So it's like, am I just coming home from work and then playing work
simulator?
You're
playing a satisfying version of work where profit is almost guaranteed.
Yes.
I think about that all the time when I play Stardew or Mystery. It's like, wow, I wish I could do this. But then I help my mom with her vegetable garden. And I'm like, this sucks. And there's no guarantee that anything will sell.
Yeah, that
no
was one
old man comes every night and empties out a box with whatever you put in there. A fish, a single ant.
It's that immediate gratification that we need.
It's like just control over something. That's why I like doing housing in Final Fantasy as well.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like I said, I should be doing things that I do in this game in real life. I'm looking at like the crack in my ceiling and stuff like that. I should probably be patching and stuff like that, but I have zero tolerance for that shit in real life. Like, I hate painting a room with a passion. I will do most other type of work, but if I have to paint something, I'd be like, maybe I'll just kill myself instead. That'd probably be the easier way out. But in this game, I like it being able to like experiment and paint all kinds of little crazy designs and stuff like that in this game. It's fun.
Also, money's not really an issue, and you
That's
can just
true.
Move furniture easily. Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's the other side of like doing this stuff in real life. You know, it's very costly to do home repairs.
Oh my God. So I've been on a kick of watching restoration videos on YouTube.
I do that as well.
It's like, it's so gratifying to see like whenever they pull out the sandblaster and get everything off. But every time I watch them, I get so jealous because I'm like, one, I don't have the space to get all these professional tools that they have. And two, I would never be able to afford them either.
Why don't you build
and
a
seeing
big
like
shed?
The powder coating.
Oh, powder.
Seeing coating. Them powder coat stuff and then stick it in the oven and it just goes whoosh.
I watched a guy clean a Persian rug for 40 minutes.
Oh, I've done that too. I've done that.
I
too.
Realized
my,
that.
My
I
favorite,
got into these
yeah, my favorite is doing it at double speed.
So, on that same subject, one of those things that I have luckily made myself stay clear of is I will get into watching car restoration videos, and I'll be like, "Oh, I would 100% love doing that." And I was like, "Wait a minute. I don't have a garage to park the car in. I don't have all the tools needed to do this work, nor the experience with doing that type of work."
Yuna used to do that. My sister's husband.
Yeah.
He would like flip, or they would like, I guess it's like a community where they like trade cars and fix them up and sell 100%. Them, or trade them again to work on another one. So that's what he used to do. Yeah.
100%.
That's a good idea. Like, if you only have the tools or expertise for one part in the process, then just keep find a community where you'll be like, okay, well, I'll take this part, and then you can do the next
step.
In
that community that she was talking about, there's definitely like people that are like, hey, this is the transmission guy. If your transmission shot, give it to him. He'll fix it up and, all, you know, all that stuff.
You know who had the same idea? Packard from The Raid. I bet you he started off with it.
He just went about it in a really weird way.
He was born 40 years too early and wasn't able to YouTube all this stuff.
And also, he wasn't very fair. He wanted to fix them up for himself, but there was no commerce. It was just, it was late stage capitalism. He was just taking and giving an experience in return, and it wasn't a very good one.
Yeah, it's true.
But I bet you started off as the transmission guy. You see where
I'm sure
Angela found the frame.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Wow.
I'm sure the guy that was drinking the brake fluid or whatever, the antifreeze, started off as the oil change guy, and look what became of him.
Yep. Yeah. He was probably known.
I'll just take a swig.
He's like, what would this taste like?
That guy could rebuild a carburetor, no problem. So that's why he started his addiction. So I will say the good thing, though, is it definitely has made me want to get back into my woodworking. So I've been doing that because of the house flipping that I've been doing. I'm about to undertake a huge project. I need to build a table to use a saw. But first I need to use the saw to build the table to use the saw.
This is just like trying to get a job.
It's pretty much exactly
Woodception.
Like, yes, it is. It is a real
thing. Just like life. You can't get credit until you have established credit.
Oh
but
God,
how do
yeah.
I get establish my credit if I can't get credit?
You need 2 years experience for this entry-level job. What?
That's right. You need a master's degree in it as well. I will say, so that was fun. And I was like, you know what, though? I need to buckle down and play one of these games that I bought. And I did, Mike. I finally got to playing Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. And I gotta say, I'm very, very happy with it. It's nice to have an old school Zelda to play. Especially after Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild and stuff like that. I really kind of hope that if they do want to continue making those Breath of the Wild games, that they at least give this company a shot to keep making games too. Because it's from the studio that did the Link's Awakening remake. Mm-hmm. And it's good.
And the Ocarina and Majora's Mask 3DS remasters.
Oh, they did those. I did not know that.
Yeah, Grezzo.
I was going to say, there's a lot in this game I like. I could do without the Pokemon-like experience of needing to collect all the Echoes, but the overall game itself is pretty fantastic.
I'm sure it's the same experience as it was for me, where you realize that there's a lot of overlap in some of the Echoes, so you tend to just use your favorite 5 to 10.
Yeah. I will say, I can't think of a better way for them to have instituted the control of the Echoes, of like sorting through the lists and stuff like that, like it basically being a pause menu to select them all. But that's the only real gripes I have about it are the that control can sometimes take you out of the game, like in a real challenging part or something like that. You're like, oh, basically I'm pausing every time to select something new to try.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
that, and I kept forgetting that they wanted the whole grab to be a puzzle mechanic. So I would constantly get stumped, only to be like, "Oh yeah, I forgot that's a thing."
Especially on the bosses, I would be getting like rolled by a boss, and then it's like, "Oh wait a minute! If I just use the grab, then it becomes super simple to beat this boss." I was thinking specifically of the dragon. I was like, yep. Oh, I keep getting, I was like, oh, I just got to grab his necklace thing and it's done. I hope to finish that up probably by this weekend. Again, it's a shorter game too. So I really appreciated that it only takes like 15, 20 hours to really beat that one. So I'm happy I'm getting that one done, because I've got a lot of games coming out that I plan to buy. The second Marvel vs. Capcom collection's coming out. The one that's got the Power Stones, so getting hyped for that. Onimusha 2, I will be playing the crap out of that. I will be buying it for like four different systems because I've got to support that game because I love it that much.
Whenever I'm gonna do the same thing for Fields of Mystria.
Yep. I was gonna say I just got my Switch copy of the first collection come in, so I literally have an extra unsealed copy on a system I'm not playing. I never thought I'd be that guy that's like, I want you to keep doing what you're doing, so yes, I will buy multiple copies of the same game.
I do. I did that with Stardew. I did that with Paradise Killer. I did that with Final Fantasy XII. I own multiple copies
of those games. But luckily, Capcom seems to be listening to people that are spending with their wallets. And, you know, the inverse is true, too. If you don't like how things are going, you can do economic protests. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you buy something you don't like?
That's true. Or don't need. That's the biggest thing for me.
I only buy what I need, which is lots of chicken nuggets.
Tons of chicken nuggets. Do you need dipping sauces with them or is that a luxury?
Well, typically they are not extra, but you know, I have a lot. I have a lot of dipping sauce cups just because they give you too many sometimes. So
you stockpile them. I gotcha. Smart.
I have more sauce than I have chicken.
at least it's not eggs. We're not talking about eggs right now.
I haven't bought eggs in so long. It's not, well, on Christmas I decided to bake.
Christmas.
They're so expensive.
I wonder why. Okay. That pretty much does it for me. Did I ever tell you guys about my VR headset came in and I tried it for like 30 minutes and I was like, oh, that's cute.
Did you play the Viking VR drum game? Skid loves that.
No. I bought the first Sony VR headset.
Oh, yeah.
It was super cheap. Like, they're going for like $60 on eBay.
That's not cheap.
When it came out, it was like $399. So, yeah.
And the alternative is the $500 one.
That's correct.
The alternative is not buying it.
The VR2 is like $599. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I will say the only thing I ever played with it was Chess Ultra. And
Chess Ultra's great on it. It's great on that.
Yes, it is. It's really cool.
You know who's...
It's so good.
Wes is super into the VR like social scene.
Really?
Yeah, whenever he was over here for, was it the parade?
It was the parade, yeah.
He was telling us about all the Oculus. Every few weeks or so, I'll get an itch where I'm like, should I get one? Because I've not experienced anything VR since the Virtual Boy.
Wow.
So it's time to have that experience, but I don't. I don't know. I hear so many people talk about like, yeah, it's a really fun gimmick that I use for an hour and then I probably never pick it up again. And I know that that'll be me. So I don't want to make a big investment, but then every time I look at the Oculus, I don't want to support Fuckerberg.
Yeah.
And two, like, they have the two different versions, and like there's the cheaper one, but then it seems like it's still worth it to get the more expensive one. And I don't know. I just keep going through that same like mental cycle until it fizzles out, and
So Mike, that was actually the genesis behind me buying the one that I got. Was because
not supporting Meta.
Well, not only that, but I was like, you know, hey, this seems cool, but I worry that if I bought the super, like I was thinking of getting either the Oculus or the Sony VR2, I was like, I'm not paying $599 for that one. So that was the answer to that. But I was like, I kind of wish I was just playing more console games. So I was like, oh, I wonder what the original one's going for, because I remember. Cousin Jeffrey, he bought it when it first came out, and like you mentioned, tried it for.
It was just a demo for Resident Evil. Yep. That was like all there was to play
and
on. So what the hell is in the second one that they think it needs to be more money than the actual console?
I can't tell you the difference between the two of them.
Because you can only use it on the PlayStation,
you can only
right?
Use it on the PlayStation. Yeah. It's wired. It's not wireless. That was the biggest thing for me.
Well, the second one has an adapter to the PC now.
Yeah, I think that was one of the reasons. And I think for like the, I guess the components it's made out of, maybe it's made out of the better components, stuff like that. But yeah, I can tell you just from the first one, if you go through any of the store menus, there's a couple of games that have support for the VR that you were, you'd have to buy full price anyway. But like VR exclusive games, Sony has really pivoted where it's like there's only like 5 or 10 for the first one. Yeah. And the second one is much more supported. But again, I'm not paying that much. And that was the other thing why I didn't go with the Meta too, because I was like, I need to try this. This is a like, you know, $50-$60 to get this thing and the adapter and what it needed and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, I'm not dealing with all this. Like, there's, you got the annoying thing of setting up cameras. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's cool, but for about an hour. And then otherwise you're just like, eh, I, you know, luckily I've gotten more out of the view and stuff like that, but you know, I won't,
I think it would be, it would be fun to, if they would do like virtual reality tours so that you can see places where you like, oh yeah, I know I'll never be able to afford.
Oh yeah. There's some on there.
There's some, on the yeah, I agree. There's
so that like, that would be neat.
So,
but I don't know how it would be like a whim where maybe once every blue moon, I would be like, yeah, let me explore this place.
You know?
So I've got the PSVR 1, and the things that I like most about it is that you can watch 3D movies on it, and it makes it feel like it's on a jumbo screen. Whoa. That's kind of cool. Mm. You can play games that way as well. It's wonky. All the games are wonky, you know, yeah. So the games that are even more wonky and silly, they're great to play. Like drunken bar fights where you can pick a guy up by his ankle, swing him over your head, and throw him off a balcony, and he just comes up on the elevator to fight you again. Great. You can throw a dart, you know, yeah. And you're over there trying to like throw a dart right at his head, and it just goes far right or something like that. Yeah. So it's, yeah. So to your point, yeah, those games are the ones that are trying to be serious that are like movies. There's this one, it's like an action movie, and you're like in the back of the car shooting. I don't remember the name of it, but it was good, but it almost gets you sick too, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing too. The motion sickness is something's not great. Also, you know, I wear glasses instead of contacts. The face, it's a little difficult to get your glasses in there. So
that's
being
why
able
I've
to
never
see,
gotten into it.
Yeah. That was one of the biggest things for me. I was like, you know, I don't want to get contacts again. I've had them before, but I just prefer glasses, and that was another deterrent. It was like, literally, I don't want to have my face smashed, and I want to be able to see what I'm doing. So I need my glasses.
I don't want to mess with VR until like until it's like a holodeck. You know, I don't even watch a ton of Star Trek, but I mean, like, I don't want any gear. I just want to be like fully in it.
Gotcha.
And yeah, just waste my life away. I don't care. It feels real. That's all that matters.
I was going to say, the thing that still bugs me the most about the PlayStation 1 is that it's wired connection. It really needs
tethered.
To be wireless. Yes.
And it's multiple wires, too.
Yeah.
Not just one. Yeah, it's like 3 or 4 different wires.
And you got to, like, it will even cause problems with, see, the Sony PlayStation 5, they don't tell you,
you
need an adapter.
Sony PlayStation
That's right.
5.
That's right. You need an adapter. You're running like multiple HDMI cords out of the thing. It can mess up your TV.
Oh, the cats.
Oh, was it because
terrible.
It was for the 4?
It was technically because it was for the 4. Yeah.
So what port did it use that didn't translate?
I don't even know the name of that port. It's the weird like that you found.
Oh,
on
so
my...
it's like a proprietary kind
it
of
was
thing.
On the
no,
4. It uses just a USB-C on the.
PSVR, yeah.
VR, oh, so it's mini, like the other one before USB-C.
Wait, maybe I'm saying that wrong. Maybe it's the USB 2.0, the blue ports.
Yeah, I thought it was that weird square one, Mike, that we see like in a lot of audio boards and things like that. Whatever that weird thing is that I know, like my M-Audio board has it. I'm trying to see if I have one floating around over here, but I don't see one.
But basically, yeah, you got to run it. You got to run a camera that uses it. You've got to it has the Move controllers. Luckily, I didn't have to set those up. to play that most of the games.
It's like a pain in the ass.
It is.
And it has a splitter too.
Yeah, it has a splitter. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And like you said, it's for an hour at best. It's, you know, one of those things. It's, I don't regret buying it, but I'm glad I went the way I did instead of buying a new one. I would have really kicked myself.
You could have got a nice sweater for $60.
That's true. I could have.
Josh, did you play the quarterback game? I don't know the name of it. NFL.
Football.
Yeah, it's football. American, it's something quarterback. Football.
I did not try that one. I got the one that was like, I got the one that has the 3D movies that you can try and watch those.
Okay.
It has support for Chess Ultra. Has support for X-Wing Squadrons for some reason.
Yeah.
So that was okay. And like I said, the other thing is they don't discount those games all that much. So it's, I'm not going to spend that much money on those games.
You could do Skyrim, couldn't you?
Yeah, but you can't move. You have to pick where you want to go, and then it teleports you. It's like, you can do Ace Combat, though. That flying game, just listen to, oh, man, I threw up when I played that. I couldn't do it. And then, but that quarterback game, I did so bad. And then you play as a quarterback, so you also sit on the sideline and watch your team play defense. So let it sit in how bad you're doing in the game. You're just watching it. Like Mario. Oh, I don't remember. Oh, I think it was probably Brennan. He was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Well, I guess
I'm on the
watching
bench,
my team play."
Yeah.
I'm not doing good at all. This is not fun. This is reminds me of high school when I sat the bench.
Jeez. Oh, all right. That's it for me. What about playing? Anybody else got anything they want to talk about or anything like that?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll pick it up in the next episode. See you later.
Next month I'll have stuff to talk.
Excellent. I think we'll all have stuff to talk about next month.
No, just
I won't. Okay.
Just Samantha.
There's nothing on my radar.
I'm sure you'll find something interesting to play between now and then. But
oh, probably. I'm sure I'll still be going through Phoenix Wright.
Probably.
They're long games. That's a crazy value for $3. Because they're like, what, 30, 40 hours a piece?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
I don't even know.
They're long games.
Yeah. Michael, let us know next time.
We're done here. Goodbye.
We're done. Goodbye, folks.
Bye.